Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
No time to waste. Got some serious breaking news. Breaking news out of the college football world today. Really should be no secret. Anybody who follows college football as a whole, you know, this year is definitely different. Okay, we have Ohio State not playing this week because of COVID concerns with their opponent. Players testing positive. Ohio State's canceled their game, backing it up, whatever. You know, so it's a special season, and I want to do this as respectfully and as professionally as I possibly can. And I said it a few weeks ago on a Facebook group, but you know, the big news of the day here, Tamorian Terry opting out at Florida State. Marvin Wilson out for the rest of the year, and James Blackman entering the transfer portal at the end of the grading semester. Now, anyone who follows this team or follows college football knows that FSU has not just taken a little bit of a dip. They have jumped off a cliff and hit a nosedive over the past two or three seasons, and it hasn't gotten any better this year. I'm still going to be a Mike Norvell guy, you know, for the time being. I'm going to let him see this through. I'm going to let him see it, you know, this season and probably next season. Because for one, it makes no sense to fire him. No sense. You know, in a COVID year with no practices, and he's just now learning, his offense is getting better. Okay, and you hear all this crap about fire Norvell and get rid of Norvell. That's not the answer. Okay, you've got to be able to sustain something, and you got to bring a guy in who's going to build this program. Is it going to be like it once was? I don't think so. Actually, absolutely not. It's never going to be that dominant as it was back in the 80s and 90s. And there's several factors, reasons. For one, the landscape of college football has completely changed. The parity is you know, way too even. Recruiting, players are going elsewhere. Okay, it's not the big name school anymore. It's not going to have that run that we had back in the 90s of years and years of top five finishes. But it can definitely be better than what it has and what the product has been on the field over the past two and a half, three seasons. With that being said, Tamorian Terry put out a public tweet that he says he wished things could have been different. He came back because he had unfinished business. He had his knee scoped a few weeks ago. Tried to play last week against Pitt. Ultimately, he was more of a decoy. He just didn't look himself. He didn't have the explosiveness, and he probably wasn't 100% ready to come back. But he was going to come back to do what he can, to do what he could do, team. Admire him for that. Commend him for that. Look, this guy is next level. If you haven't done any research on this guy, okay, for one, shame on you. And two, you're missing out because he's the best wide receiver to come out of Florida State in a long time. I'm going back Peter Warwick and then probably this guy. Okay, as far as dynamic players go, Rashad Green was more of a consistent receiver, a blanket, you know, a security blanket, great hands, good receiver of the football, ran good crisp routes. Tamorian Terry is more dynamic. He's a home run hitter, a playmaker, and that's no doubt. They're going to miss him. But to me, it's a blessing in disguise because he can now get himself healthy and he can get himself ready to enter the NFL draft. And that's what he needs to do. Because if he's just going to go out there with what he's putting on the field right now, he's not only hurting the team, he's hurting himself, draft status and everything else. So if he can get himself healthy and get himself ready for the combine, that's what he needs to do. And I said this a few weeks ago on a Facebook group that I'm part of, that I wouldn't be surprised if after the Miami blowout, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Tomorian Terry opting out after this week. Well, I was a few weeks behind, but it's happened. And it stinks because we really didn't get to see, you know, I guess maybe you really appreciate what he did last year for this team. Because we was really had so much hopes on what he was going to bring to the Noles this year. But the offense that they have to run right now doesn't really fit his skill set anyway. They don't have a quarterback that can push the ball down the field. The one guy that could do it is entering the transfer portal. I'll get to him in just a minute. And I don't want to spend all night on the Florida State Seminoles, but this is breaking news. It's big news. I saw it on my news feed, and it's blowing up Twitter, so I wanted to touch on it real quick, but I don't want it to take all night. But he's going to be missed, but at the same time, they haven't really used him. He's the leading receiver on the team with like 23 catches, 200 and some odd yards and a touchdown. So that tells you he's not really lighting up the scoreboard. So with the offense that they're running, the quarterback, Jordan Travis, isn't a downfield thrower. He just doesn't have that in his game as of yet. Blackman, who could throw the ball down the field, is broken and shattered, and him transferring isn't going to really fix anything as far as I know. I hope it does, because this kid is a leader. He's a leader. I don't know if he's a football player at the next level, but he is a leader, and he loved Florida State, and he gave it all that he had. And he was just a broken young man who got beat up over and over again. The offensive line did him no favors. He had no mobility. So with that note, you know, he was a pocket passer. And when the offensive line was that bad, you know, he's going to take a lot of hits, a lot of beats. And, you know, when he was on, he looked really good. When he came in for Francois, he looked really good. And that next year, he was fantastic. But something happened, and it was the beat down and the constant wear and tear and getting hurt. And then, you know, it's in his clock. The interior clock in his head wasn't working anymore. And he showed it last week. He came in at the beginning of the second half when Travis was hurt, and he threw a pick, and he set Pitt right up. He set him right back up, you know, in scoring position. And that, sadly, is the last we'll ever see of James Blackman in a Florida State uniform. I rooted for this kid ever since he came in for Francois. You know, I was hoping he would be the next in a great line of quarterbacks. I was wrong. I wish him well. Interesting to see where he goes. I think that will be really a topic of conversation going forward, to see if he does get a chance to go somewhere and play. And if he does get a chance to play, let's see if he is fixable, if somebody can fix him. But to me, I don't know why Norvell even put him in at the beginning of the second half. I would have went with Purdy, because you know what, we already knew what we had in Blackman. He was done, so wish him the best. Marvin Wilson out for the rest of the year, and with him and Terry both opting to come back, okay, this is not the outcome that either young man wanted, you know, for their seasons. They came back because they believed in Norvell. They believed, you know, what he was going to do with this team. And now they've both been hurt and beat up, and Marvin Wilson hasn't produced like we thought he was going to. So I don't know if this has affected his draft stock yet, because he was preseason All-American, and you know, you got to think that it's going to take a hit. But you know, he's also a very good talent, and he's going to find a home in the NFL. Maybe not as high as it was, but they're going to miss him. They missed him last week on that defensive line. He's not a guy that you can just plug somebody else in and say, okay, do this. This is a guy who, you know, changed the course of games when he was right. And I'm not sure he's been right all year. because he hasn't really played up to what we was thinking. So, you know, big news right there out of Florida State. And now we'll get into the rest of the show, talking about some goods and bads, and we got fantasy playoffs in the distant future, and we got Week 10 on the horizon starting tomorrow night. So we're going to get into that right now. But before we do, since I'm on the topic of Florida State, if you are looking to join a Florida State Facebook group, okay, it's all Noles all the time, and you are a Noles fan listening to this podcast, I do appreciate it. Go to your Facebook groups, type in FSU Real Noles, and submit a request to join this group. It's an up-and-growing group led by a guy by the name of Chris Frazier. He's a Noles fan. Told him I'd give him a shout-out. He gave me some logos for my Hitman's War Chant recaps. I told him I'd give him a shout-out on my podcast. So look this up if you're an FSU lover and you want to join a Facebook group that's nothing but Florida State guys and gals. FSU Real Talk is the name of that group. So we're moving into Week 10 of the NFL season, which means we've got the fantasy playoffs in the distant horizon. They're starting to work their way in. We're hitting Week 10, which means you got about another 5 weeks of fantasy. And then you're looking at week 16 or 15, 16 for your fantasy playoffs, unless you play 17 weeks, which I hope you don't. I do. I am in a league where it does play 17 weeks, and I'm going to vote that gets changed next year. But so we're getting down to the end. We got like another quarter to go, something like that. But it is going fast, and you know, so it's time to start looking at. Okay, what do I got over these next few? Okay, playoff spots are probably starting to get locked up. We've got a couple leagues where the higher-up teams have already clinched playoffs. There's a guy in the Chumps League, undefeated. He locked up a spot. A couple of guys in one of the Hitman Fantasy Production Leagues, two teams there, one loss teams, locked up playoff spots just this past week. So, what does that mean? That means if you are a one-loss team, you are in trouble, people. You need to get a win. But most likely, you're probably done. Because depending on how many teams that you have make the playoffs, if it's an 8-team league and 4 teams make the playoffs and 2 of them have already made it, well, you do the math. 4 go in, 2 make it, that leaves you 2. That's good math right there. And you're probably going to be the odd teams out if you've got 1 or 2 wins. Depending on your league setup, maybe if you're in a 6-teamer, you've still got a chance because the rest of the league is struggling too. But if you're in leagues, most of the leagues that I'm in, and there are some 1 and 2 win teams, and all these leagues that I'm in, you can go ahead and stick a fork in them because they're donezo for the season. Because these other top-tier teams, even the teams that are a game above 500, you know, they're not going to catch them now. They don't have time. So maybe before your trade deadlines hit, maybe go and look and see, you know, if you can work a deal. If it's a dynasty league, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, implore collusion because I would never do that. But if it's a dynasty league, maybe these guys are, you know, looking to build for the future. You know, you get them a couple of picks and a player, and you can grab something that helps strengthen your team, you know, going into the fantasy playoffs. It never hurts to ask, but you do have trade deadlines rapidly approaching, so if you're going to act, you need to act now. We'll take the good and the bad this past week. The good was, for the first time this year and probably in a couple of years, I went undefeated across my fantasy landscape, like 11-0. Had a really good week. Got Dalvin Cook in several leagues, and that certainly helped. In 2 quarterbacks leagues in the Chump League, I had the 1 quarterback and the number 2 quarterback. Factor that in with the number 1 running back. Had a pretty good week. So, that is a good. Probably my best fantasy run in a couple of seasons. The bad is I have to talk about this because it has nothing to do with football, but it has to do with the fabric of me growing up And, you know, the other day we lost Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy for however many years it's been on. He lost his battle to cancer. And I'd be a little remiss here to not bring it up. And it's not going to be the same. I'm not sure if I can watch the show without him, but we'll try. You know, I grew up watching the show. So it's going to be rough. But bad news to good news. It's Veterans Day, November 11th. Thank you to all the veterans who have served, are serving, will serve. You know, there's a saying, we don't know you all, but we owe you all. And that is definitely spot on. We owe all our freedoms and everything, our liberties that we have here in this United States to our veterans. And here at the Hitman Pod, cannot say thank you enough to all the vets out there defending our front lines and keeping us safe every single day. 365. They don't get days off. They don't get, you know, they don't get to come home for Christmas sometimes. Okay, they're gone. You know, so those guys have it rough. And, you know, I want to say thank you to all of them. I have several dear friends that are vets. Doug Harder, Sean Navis, Sean Cowles, you know, several friends that are Sean Laird. Appreciate all these guys for serving. I could go on and on, but those are the guys that just come to mind right off the top. My dad, my grandfathers, you know, thanks to all you guys who sacrificed. Week 10 in the NFL starts tomorrow night. Indy, Tennessee. I'll talk a little bit more about that game on Sportscaster tomorrow evening. So we'll jump over to that one, and we'll start with Philly and the Giants. It's a battle of the NFC least again. These guys played a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, Philly done themselves, you know, some favors by winning a couple of conference games and getting themselves relevant. So, you know, I think this division is theirs for the taking right now, and I don't see anybody going to challenge them. Certainly not Dallas. I don't have much faith in the Giants. I want to think maybe, and maybe it's just the old guy in me, but, you know, Alex Smith comes back in, takes over for a hurt Kyle Allen, and the 2-6 Washington Redskins travel to the 3-5 Detroit Lions. That's a winnable game. They seem to be getting it going a little bit. They're not horrible. You know, the Washington football team, they're not terrible. And this is a winnable game. A winnable game for both of these teams. So, you know, if Philly wins and Washington wins, you know, Dallas is on a bye this week, so thankfully they can't lose. But, you know, if Philly can win a couple of games, I think that's all it's going to take. I said this before. I'm not going to be surprised if the winner of the NFC East is below 500. If you get to 500 in the NFC East, you're probably going to win it. And I'm not going to be surprised if it's a 7-9 team, or in this situation, maybe a tie. You know, Philly has a tie with the Bengals, so they could win this division with a horrible record, because that division is just so terrible. The 1-7 Jacksonville versus 6-2 Green Bay in Green Bay. Jake Luton took over at quarterback for Gardner Minshew last week. And, you know, he wasn't bad. He hit DJ Chark with the big 73-yard touchdown bomb to get the thing kicked off. And maybe he's the right guy for the job. You know, I know that Minshew's been hurt, but maybe it's partly of an excuse as to, you know, you need a spark. You're a 1-7 team. And, you know, actually I'm kind of looking for these teams that are lower wins, you know, like the Chargers and the Red, or the Washington football team, and Jacksonville, New York, all these teams to win some games, and then Dallas can keep losing, and they just climb up that ladder and get a higher draft pick to help, you know, next year. It seemed to have worked. You know, this past year they was terrible. They landed CeeDee Lamb, and, you know, they get another higher draft pick. You know, it happened the year that they got Zeke. They didn't think they was going to be up that high, but they stunk, so they was able to get Zeke. So they got talent. I don't understand it. Dallas is just not a good football team. They're not very good. They're not well coached. And it's just a bad year for me as a football fan. Florida State stinks. Dallas stinks. It's rough. It's rough here in the Hitman's Hideout. 2-6 Houston versus 5-3 Browns. Browns back off a bye. Baker Mayfield seems to have cleared the COVID protocol and looks like he's going to play. I haven't had exactly the green light on him yet, but it looks like he's going to go, and they're going to need him. Houston's played better. The record's 2-6, but they have played better since they got rid of Bill O'Brien, and it seems to be, you know, working in their favor. They're at least, they look like a football team now. David Johnson did get hurt. He's in a concussion protocol. Doesn't look good for him, I guess. I didn't see the play. I guess he just got smoked and was laid out, so it doesn't look good for him. Your waivers have already ran at this time, but Duke Johnson was a hot commodity. I dropped a bunch of fab on him in one of the HFP leagues because I had a whole bunch of money I hadn't spent in one of the HFP leagues. I had like $90-some dollars left, so I dropped a whole ton of money just to get David Johnson, or Duke Johnson, excuse me, and I landed him. So if he's out, I'll have Duke in one league. So Duke Johnson against the Cleveland Browns, and Myles Garrett's a little dinged up, I see, off sleeper. So, you know, he could be poised and in line for a decent start to your fantasy teams with David Johnson being out. I like Cleveland in this game, though. I think that they, especially if Baker plays, you know, and looking to get Nick Chubb, looks like he's on the plus side to play this week. That would be fantastic. Hopefully he's ready and not coming back too early. But if they get him back and then that 1-2 punch there at running game, you know, I like Cleveland this year, man. They're having a really good run, and, you know, I'd like to see it continue for them. 6-3 Tampa, 3-6 Carolina. Battle of the NFC South, and Tampa coming off just a beatdown on Monday night at the hands of the New Orleans Saints. As much as I would like to say, you know, they're going to get it right and make it right, I don't hate this Carolina team. This Carolina offense is playing good. Unfortunately, it looks like they won't have McCaffrey. He came back for one game, so I hope you started him in your fantasy leagues because it looks like he's going to be out again. But, you know, Mike Davis did a fantastic job, you know, while he was out, and he's going to look to get those carries again. He did kind of tail off the last couple of weeks. McCaffrey came in last week and was great for you. But, you know, I don't hate this Carolina team. Their record, to me, is kind of like the Bengals. It's not. Their record isn't really indicative of their gameplay. They've just lost some rough ones, and you know this 3-6 record is definitely not something that Tampa should come in and overlook, because this is a winnable game for Carolina. They can come in and they can move the ball. Teddy B is having a great year with those two wideouts, and defense is coming along a little bit there in Carolina. I mean, they're not great, but they're not terrible. So, you know, this is a game that's probably going to be closer than you may think, and you know, I don't know if Carolina can squeak it out at the end, but, you know, Tampa sure don't want to lose two in a row, especially to Carolina. But, you know, stranger things have happened, and, you know, I can see Carolina winning this game. I really can. 2-6 Chargers and a 5-3 Dolphins. Look, I said at the beginning of the season that the Dolphins were not a very good football team. Okay, I may have been mistaken. Okay, I made a post on our Debbie League page. I had a guy sitting back just kind of chuckling, and I said, this is me sitting here with Tua in my taxi. I picked him up in a Debbie trade before he was drafted, and I just stashed him in the taxi when we started the season on Sleeper. And I thought, well, I'll stash him there all year, and then maybe next year, you know, he'll be one of the mainstays. Our Debbie League's a two-quarterback system, so He may come in. I'm sitting here thinking about activating him and using him, you know, in the playoff run. If he continues where he's going, I might bring him up, and I may use him, you know, because the first week I told you, I said, don't get too excited on what we're going to see. He's, you know, this is his first start. Don't get crazy. And in his second game, he took leaps and strides. That was a really good game that they played against Arizona and got the win. Now, it was on that kick. Zane Gonzalez missed a kick. It looked like it was good. You know, you go for it right there. You just go for it. We got Kyler Murray. You got Kyler Murray. The dude's an animal. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the coach. I'm just a guy sitting here with a heavy football opinion and a laptop. But great game, though, for Tua. And he's 2-0 as a starter. That's fantastic. You know, so definitely like what I'm seeing out of him. And look for him to continue to gain strides and confidence as he, you know, continues to get back from that injury. And, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid. And we saw what he did at Alabama. Like, he has accurate. I mean, he throws an accurate ball. He threw a couple of touchdowns. Man, his throws just look good. And, you know, he can move a little bit and, you know, make people miss and get out in space and create things. Man, they got themselves a player down there in Miami. Still not happy with what they did to Fitz, but if they thought this was the time, you know, then it was the time. So, you know, I can't say anything because they don't listen to me anyway. 3-5 Denver, 5-3 Raiders. Battle of the AFC West. I've been a little critical of Drew Lock the first part of the season, and maybe he's starting to come along now. Maybe it's just because they don't have much of a running game and he has to throw more, so his numbers are inflated. I haven't watched a whole lot of Broncos games to see, you know, what's going on, but the numbers don't really lie. The running game is not there. Melvin Gordon is not great. He was okay at first, and now he's just not doing much. And I don't know if it's just game script or he is spent. But, you know, Drew Lock is coming on, and he's a good play this week. You know, if you got bye week issues or if you got, I guess, injuries, and, you know, and Drew Lock's out there, you know, I got to say that at the beginning of the season I was really critical of him. But, you know, he's progressing and he's doing okay, and it might be a good play against the Raiders. They seem to give up some stuff through the air. So if you're in a pinch and you need Drew Lock, I don't hate that for sure. I'm going to say this is probably the game of the week. It's definitely going to probably be the most entertaining, or at least we hope so. 7-2 Buffalo, 5-3 Arizona. And this is the battle of the number one and number two quarterbacks in fantasy last week. It's in Arizona. There's not going to be a weather issue. Arizona has one of the nicest stadiums in the NFL. This is going to be a good one. It's going to be Kyler versus Josh Allen, and I got them both going against each other. Now, that has bit me a couple of times in two quarterback leagues where I have quarterbacks in the same game. For some reason, it just doesn't work out. But I don't like my chances with Joe Burrow against the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, so I'm going to ride the hot hand of Josh Allen and Kyler Murray in this one, and I'm going to let Joe Burrow, I'm going to leave him on the bench. It's a tough decision, but when I look at what Pittsburgh's at, it's a little bit easier for me. This could be a really high-scoring game. It could be a fun game. It could be in the 30s. The over-under on this thing could be up in the 70s. I don't know. I haven't checked yet. But it should be fun. 4 o'clock on Sunday. And, you know, all the stars come out. We got Josh Allen, and his wide receivers are getting healthy, and that makes him just a little bit better. Zach Moss is taking more of a role there in Buffalo, and it's evident that, you know, Devin Singletary isn't the guy. He's just, I don't know if they're phasing him out completely. I mean, obviously he's going to get his carries, but it just looks like to me, and the stuff that I've watched and seen, that Zach Moss is the better runner. He's way more hard-nosed. We saw that at Utah. When he's at Utah, man, he just hit you. And, you know, that's not Singletary's thing. He's not that big of a guy, and Zach Moss has a little bit of that to him. So if you got any shares of Zach Moss, congratulations, because he may be all set for next year. Unfortunately, I don't have any in Dynasty Leagues or Keeper Leagues. It's unfortunate, but I had a share of him, and I traded him in the Devy League, and now I wish I'd have kept him. And so that's what it is. That's why we play the fantasy game. 4-5 San Fran going down to Nollins. 6-2 Saints. And, man, the Saints looked good. And Drew Brees especially looked good. And, you know, Drew Brees is, it's just wait. It's wait 5 years, give him the jacket. And, you know, he's first ballot quality Hall of Famer. And, you know, he's Hall of Fame on the field, Hall of Fame off the field. And, you know, he's the reason why I'm a little bit of a Saints fan, to where I root for him, you know. I love their colors, for one thing. But, you know, what he does for the game of football, what he does, you know, for New Orleans and all that, hard not to like Drew Brees. And it's going to be, you know, one of those things where we hate to see him go when he does decide to call it quits. But in this game, it doesn't look like they're going to have Raheem Mostert. It looks like Shanahan ruled him out. So it's still going to be a wonder of what running back is going to be. Look, I'm out. I'm out on it. It's to me, it's the same as the Rams. Okay, I'm not playing any of those guys. I don't care. I'll find other options. If it's not Mostert, I don't want no part of it. We all thought it was going to be hasty last week with a big game and a big workload. He didn't lay an egg, but it was not very good. It was McKinnon again. So it's a whirling guess of who's it going to be. I'm out. I'm out on that. Same with the Rams. I'm done. I'm not even playing Henderson, because the week I play Henderson, for some reason they'll give Akers 20 carries. I'm not going down that road. Not at this time of the season, because it's too important. You don't want to lose a game on that chance of, well, they got three running backs. Which one are you going to play? If you have no other option, then I get it, but I'm doing my best to try to find other options. For the Saints, how good is Alvin Kamara? I mean, he didn't even have that great of a game and still was good. I mean, he is so good. He's so smooth, and the way he runs, it's just effortless. What he brings to that offense is unreplaceable. It's a different offense when he's not in there, and he is so good, and he has kept that ship afloat while Michael Thomas was out, and now Thomas is getting back and getting healthy. This Saints team is poised to make a run, and you know, since it can't be my Cowboys going to the playoffs or even really a 500 record, I wouldn't mind seeing the Saints make a deep run, you know, for Drew Brees. For San Fran, you know, they're still out. Garoppolo, they're going to Mullins. Mullins he's okay. He's good, not great. He will throw the occasional pick. You know, so to me, I think this game is set up for New Orleans to win it. And win it. And, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone if New Orleans pulls this one out. Interesting game in the NFC West. 6-2 Seattle coming off a loss. And the 5-3 Rams back off of a bye week. Big time division matchup. Like I said, Seattle coming off that loss to Buffalo last week, and you know, Buffalo looked good against Seattle. So this defense, you can do things against this Seattle defense. And in which case, I've heard a lot of talk about Goff being, you know, maybe a streaming quarterback option this week, because of the byes and the injuries and things of that nature. But I'm still trying to find another option. I mean, if it's all you got, then sure, he's going to score you some points. He's probably going to throw a couple touchdowns, but there's better options for me as far as streamers go. But Goff is definitely one that can be considered, you know, if you have nowhere else to go. The running backs we just talked about, I don't want any part of any of them, unless there's absolutely no other choice. If you say, well, okay, well, who would you go with, Jerick McKinnon or Henderson, I would say Henderson. That's how little confidence I have in anybody there in San Fran. So if I had to, and it was the bottom of the barrel, and you said you got to play one, I guess I would take Henderson over McKinnon and Hasty, easily, for that matter. But Russell Wilson, get back on track, though. You do have a nasty defense, a better defense with the Rams, with Donald and Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Ramsey can do against DK Metcalf. He's probably not going to shut him down 100% completely, because I'm not sure you can do that. But it will be interesting to see if he shadows him and kind of takes away, you know, some of those targets, and maybe it opens up a day for Lockett to come back, because Lockett's been kind of quiet the past 2 weeks. So if you have any shares of Lockett, might be the week to play him with Ramsey maybe shadowing DK. 2-5-1 Cincinnati, 8-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Bengals back off a bye. I talked about this a little bit ago. There's a couple of leagues I'm playing Burrow in just because he's my best option. But in some of the bigger leagues, I'm going to try to steer away from it just because it is Pittsburgh. And, you know, the offensive line for Pittsburgh, or for the Bengals, is beating up Joe Burrow. So I'm going to find a different route. I'm going to let him have the day off in a couple of leagues. I love Joe Burrow. I love what he has future-wise. But this week, I'm trying to find a different option. And, you know, we saw what Dallas did last week against the Steelers. And, look, I'm not going to say it was a fluke, because they're my favorite team, and they're the Cowboys. And, you know, any team can win on any given Sunday. But to me, it was almost like, and you can't even say Pittsburgh was looking past them, because it was the Bengals that had next at 2-5-1. But that 2-5-1 record, I've said it all season, very, very deceiving. That team could be, you know, definitely 6 wins, in my opinion, easily. So, you know, I look for this game to, I think the Bengals will come in and fight them, but I think ultimately Pittsburgh's going to win this game. But, you know, Dallas played them tough, and I think maybe Pittsburgh thought, well, you know, we can go in here and not do as much, and we can still get out with a win. And it turns out they was right. You know, Dallas had a lead, and they had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and, you know, they couldn't hold it. And, you know, you saw it. You know, you got to give credit. Garrett Gilbert he played a fine game. He didn't really make that many mistakes. And, you know, he played okay. And he wasn't scared to throw the ball down the field. He hit CeeDee Lamb on a touchdown. So if you had to, I did play Lamb in a league. Just, that's what I did. I played Lamb in one league, Cooper in one league, and Gallup in one league. And I thought, well, maybe I'll get a touchdown from somebody somewhere. And it turns out the league that I played Lamb in worked out, because I got a touchdown from him. But, you know, I'm not sure that that the Bengals can go into, you know, Heinz Field and win this game. I think that Pittsburgh will definitely hang on to go 9-0 and continue their record, team record-setting year. The team has never been 8-0 before in the team's history. Now, if you go back a ways, that's a very deep history. This team has been around for a while. So, you know, if they go to 9-0, that's going to be a record that's going to be hard to beat, you know, in Pittsburgh history, you know, going forward. But, you know, like I said, with Big Ben, if he stays healthy, you know, he's a spark plug in that engine, and he's been beat up. Now, they put him on a COVID watch or something too. He's contact tracing or something, so we need to keep an eye on that. But you know, he got beat up. Dallas beat him up a little bit. He was hobbling. He left the game, came back in. So, you know, if he gets hurt, the whole dynamic changes. So as Ben goes, go the Steelers. And that's no secret. That's no secret to any defense. That should be like number one. And, you know, it's no secret that they're having a fantastic year, and I look forward to continue. 6-2 Baltimore, 3-5 New England, and it took everything New England had to beat the Jets. Okay, that's how far this team has fallen over one season. So I said this on one of the Facebook groups I'm in. Maybe Tom Brady was the straw in this drink. Maybe he was the guy who made this team better. Like, I know a lot of Patriots fans, they're sticking up for Cam and all this, and that's great. He's still doing what he can, running the ball. But, look, he rocks back and throws the ball, and it just looks like it takes everything he has to throw that ball. And it took everything that team had to beat the Jets, who are horrible. Got some problems in New England. So, That being said, this could be a good game for Lamar Jackson and that Baltimore defense or Baltimore team to get it going and get back on track. And there's a report on the NFL.com site that Lamar Jackson says that defenses are calling out what plays they're going to run. Well, they need to get that fixed. I mean, if that's the case, they need to address that because that's going to make life really hard. If the defense knows what's going on, then make their job a lot easier. So if that is the case and defenses are calling out what plays that the Ravens are going to run, somebody needs to deal with it quickly. Monday night, Minnesota-Chicago. Look, they saved the best for last, and I saved the best for last because you guys all know where I'm going with this. Okay? We are going to talk Dalvin Cook for a few minutes. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not saying that, you know, he's the greatest running back to ever play the game, because that's not true yet. But as we said here, on Veterans Day 2020, he is the best running back in the NFL. Aside from the best running back in fantasy, he is the best running back in the NFL. He has put on a show the last 2 weeks, and the only thing stopping this kid is can he stay healthy. Yes, he's a Florida State Seminole. Yeah, it feels good to see somebody from Florida State succeeding in the NFL because we've had so many busts that come in from the offense. Defense, we've got a few Hall of Famers. But offensively, it feels good to see a guy from Florida State come into the league and do what he's doing week in and week out. Feels good. Now, Chicago. In Chicago, Monday night. Probably going to be cold because it's been 70 and it's probably going to be 30. So he's not used to that because when he plays in Minnesota, they play in a dome, and he's from Miami, Florida. So we're going to see if it is really cold this weekend in Chicago. We're going to see how he does in, you know, in cold, windy conditions. You know, because playing in Green Bay, he's done that. You know, Chicago. But, you know, it's cold, and it changes things. But you're definitely starting him in your lineup. There's no way you're benching him, even though Chicago's defense is pretty good. You don't even think about finding a different direction. Dalvin Cook, you put him in, and as long as he's healthy, he's in your lineup. To me, as of right now, he is the offensive player of the year. Not the MVP, because that's going to go to a quarterback, probably Russell Wilson, if we voted right now. But to me, he's the offensive player of the year. Just what he's done. You know, he's missed one game and a part of another game, and he's in the top three or four. He was leading the league in rushing before he got hurt. You know, and there it is. There's that word. He got hurt. He can stay healthy. He can carry you to a fantasy championship. Now, his fantasy playoffs aren't great. They aren't. If you look at the fantasy playoffs for the Minnesota Vikings, he's got a little bit of a rockier road, but he got you here. You see it through. Okay, I've seen some Twitter talk. A guy on Twitter said, should I trade Dalvin Cook because of his playoff schedule? I didn't answer. I was going to, but I was busy. I wouldn't. I'm riding that. As long as he's healthy and in there, I'm taking that chance. I would rather lose with him in my lineup than trade and have somebody else succeed with him on their team. That's just me personally. I'm a big Dalvin Cook guy, but it's also a matter of the business and you're trying to win championships. I'm going to bank on Dalvin Cook this year, and so far it hasn't let me down. Oh, and did I mention he went to Florida State? I don't know if I mentioned that or not. A couple things to talk about before we get out of here.
Here's what we know.
Atlanta Falcons cut Tack McKinley a couple days ago. Well, he has landed in Cincinnati. The former first-round draft pick was claimed off waivers by the Cincinnati Bengals, and that will help their defensive front. Now, I do not know why he was let go from Atlanta. I don't know if it was an attitude thing or maybe it was getting to the point where it was a contract thing and it wasn't worth keeping. But, you know, he came in with a lot of buzz. First-round pick, like I said, I think 17th overall that year. Came out holding a picture of his grandma, cussing up a storm. But, you know, he lands in Cincinnati, and he's going to have a chance to probably play. Probably won't see him much this week, but he will be in the lineup going forward. T.Y. Hilton going to return for Thursday Night Football versus the Titans. That doesn't impress me one bit. I've been off the T.Y. Hilton train for about 3 years now. You want to take that chance, go for it. I'm not. Not only does that offense scare me with Rivers, you know, they got running back issues, you know, and the dude hasn't been healthy much all year. I don't expect much from him this week. And quite frankly, I don't expect much from him, you know, for the rest of the season. Now, I could be a little bit too harsh, but that's just the way I see it. I wouldn't rely on him in weeks where we need wins to lock down playoff spots. I wouldn't rely on T.Y. Hilton. That's just me. Last thing before we get out of here for the night, I want to give you a hat tip. If you either A, drafted, B, picked up off the waiver wire, or C, made a trade for Justin Herbert in your fantasy leagues this year. Two things. If you picked him up when Tyrod Taylor went down, well done. If you drafted him in your dynasty drafts, a bigger hat tip to you. If you was able to figure out somebody who would trade him to you, you are my hero of the fantasy weeks. This guy is amazing. If you've got him in a dynasty league, you should probably hang on to him. Or if you do decide to trade him, make sure you get what he's worth, because he has balled out ever since he took over that job. Unfortunately, I have zero shares of him in any dynasty league. A couple of keeper leagues I'm in, I have him. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to keep him with the numbers. This all depends on what's going on. But this guy could be a league winner for you. Okay, he's the guy that you're going to play every week from now on. You know, unless you got, you know, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, you know, maybe you don't play him over those guys. But, you know, most one quarterback leagues where, you know, you picked him up late or, you know, took him whenever, you landed a steal, and congratulations to you. The Hitman says, well done. That's going to do it for me on this Wednesday evening here in southwestern Ohio. Hope you had a great week. Good luck to you this week. Get a win. Get yourself fantasy playoff ready. You can find me on Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts. You can find me on Twitter at HatefulHitman. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. Appreciate you listening. Anywhere you listen, appreciate the feedback. It means the world to me. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time on The Hitman Show.